Let's put our hands together.
Thank you. And good morning, everybody. Trust you had a real good sleep. And that we're learning to see God through the telescope and not the microscope. Microscopes make things bigger than what they are. You can't put God under a microscope because you can't make him any bigger than what he is. It's impossible to make God bigger, but you can bring him closer through looking at him through the telescope. And this telescope, of course, is the Bible, God's Word. The more you read the Bible, the more you understand the Bible, the closer you get to God, the closer God gets to you. I'll be speaking over the next few days quite a bit about praise. I believe it is important to put keys into our hand that will enable us to live fulfilled, happy lives in God. I meet so many Christians. I travel a lot and I preach in a lot of different places. I meet so many Christians that I see who are not happy. I mean, their lives are obviously not happy. It's as if they're living under some kind of, they've got the weight of the world upon their shoulders. And as if God is so far away. And so many Christians are not happy. And I don't think that's how it should be. I believe we should be amongst the most happiest people on the earth. Come on. This morning when I woke up, I looked through the windows and I saw the sunrise, the beautiful red sky and the mist. I just started to praise God because God is so good. You can enjoy him. You can enjoy God. Did anybody enjoy their breakfast this morning? Anybody? Hands up. Oh, a few of you did. Yeah. Some of you got so used to eating, you don't enjoy it anymore. But I'm not like that. I've learned that I can't live without food. I need it. We need food. And we do enjoy food, don't we? There are certain little things in life we enjoy. Well, do you know, you can just enjoy God like that. You can look forward to God. You can enjoy him. And I want to put a key in your hand this morning. It will seem strange when I start to say it. But it is a key, I believe, to real, successful Christian living. And it is the key of praise. I want to talk about praising God. Now you say, well, we're Pentecostal. We know all there is to praise God. No, you don't. That's why I'm telling you this morning. There's things for us to learn about praise that we don't really understand. Praising God is a key. And praising God should become a lifestyle. Not just something we do on a Sunday morning. Not just something we do every now and again. But praise should be a lifestyle. Something that flows from us. It talks in the book of Revelation about the key of David. A key that will open doors and close doors that no man can open. Open doors that no man can shut. The key of David. And I wondered for a long time what the key of David meant. And one day it clicked. It just fell into my heart. The key of David is a key of praise. David knew how to praise God in all situations and in all circumstances. He was a man of war. He was a fighter. He was a battler. He fought all his life. All his life, he was a fighter. But you know what else he was? He was a man who praised God. In fact, you don't read of any battle that he lost. He didn't lose any battle because David knew how to praise God. He was a man of praise. And I want to teach you this morning about praise. Now, I want you to be open. What I'm going to say is very simple, but sometimes it can be so simple, we miss them. And I wanted to start by reading that beautiful psalm, Psalm 100. Now, we've had a lovely praise session today, didn't we? Singing those beautiful songs of praise. Listen to what the psalmist said in the last psalm, Psalm 150. Listen to what the psalmist says about praise. He starts this psalm off by saying, "Praise the Lord." What a wonderful way to start. Everybody say it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. With a little bit more gusto than that. I think when he wrote this psalm, I think he was really excited. He says, "Praise the Lord." Not, "Praise the Lord." Say, "Praise the Lord" with gusto. Up to two. One, two.
Praise the Lord.
That's it. That's that. That is the attitude in which the psalm is written. He didn't write this psalm from, subdued attitude. He says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with a harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and the flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord! Do you reckon that guy was excited when he wrote that? There was some excitement. Praise the Lord. But we as Christians don't get excited unless it's a Sunday morning for 10 minutes. No, we should have that attitude of praise all the way through our lives. So I want to tell you, I'm going to ask 5 questions. And I'm going to answer these questions. The 5 questions are going to tell you all you need to know about praise. First one, what is praise? What is praise? Well, very simply, very basically, when you're praising somebody, you are complimenting them. Praise is to compliment somebody. Now, some people are good at complimenting people. Some people are not good at complimenting. But you know, when you get complimented, do you know you feel good about it? If somebody goes, I bought this coat a couple of days ago from Myers, you see. And I took it home, I'm living with my daughter at the moment, and she's a pastor. And I put it on, I said, I bought a new coat, what do you reckon? She went, no, I like that. And her husband said, oh, I wouldn't buy that. Well, how many of you know, my heart didn't lift. I thought, I'm not wearing it. She said, well, you go to the camp, wear it. I said, I'm wearing it, what do you reckon? Anybody like it? You're making me feel better already. Do you understand? A compliment has a power of lifting you. When you compliment somebody, you're actually praising them. And it's good for husbands and wives to compliment each other. It's good for parents to compliment their kids. It's good to do this. We like to hear compliments. I saw this program on television a couple of years ago. It was most incredible. They did this. It was about a 20 minutes of a program about a man who was an African man, dark-skinned man, who lived in the south of America, the deep south. And he was in poverty, he lived on the streets. And he begged for a living. Very sad story. And he lived in this very busy city, and he used to stand on the street's corner begging. And he used to get very little. And so he came up with an idea. This is a true story, what I'm telling you. He was not a Christian. This is a true story. He came up with an idea that as people were passing by, it was on the way to work, he would compliment them on something. He would say to them, the guy, oh, what beautiful shoes you've got on today. Lovely shoes. And the guy would carry on walking. Oh, I love your hair today. You look so good today. But he'd be standing on this corner, and the same people passed by for work every morning, you see. And he started complimenting. In fact, every person that passed him by, he complimented them on something. He complimented them. In fact, people said, because they interviewed people who had passed him and knew him, they said, we look forward to passing that guy in the morning, because on our way to work, he says something nice to us. And guess what? They started to throw money into his hat. He started to make a lot of money, because people were feeling so good. And they nicknamed him in this town, they nicknamed him the Complimentary Man. That was his name. And he became well known just by saying, just the only sentence of complimenting people. And I thought, what a lovely story that is. Shouldn't we be like that? Come on, as Christians, shouldn't we be complimenting people? Shouldn't we, when we get to the checkout and the girl's there, and she'll say to you, because she's taught to say it, have a good day. Enjoy the rest of your day. You know, they say that and you think, well, we should smile back and say, and you have a wonderful day as well. You look so nice. We should compliment people. We lift people's spirits. Now, praising God, very simply, is complimenting God. You're just telling God how good He is. Is it to lift His spirits? No. I mean, if nobody tells Him He's good, He still knows He is. Because He's God. In fact, the Bible says God is good
And what he does is good. He doesn't need our praise to lift his spirits. We need it for one another, like you lifted my spirit about my coat. Thanks. He said that with such enthusiasm about my coat. Thanks, mate. and you lift your spirit. God isn't like that. God's in high spirits all the time. He's God. He's great. He doesn't need us, by the way. Without, some people say, oh, God made us so we can love him, so we can fulfill a longing in his heart. No. God wants us to love him, and I said that last night. But if we don't, it doesn't put him down. He's complete in himself. He's complete in his own triunity. He is the center of everything. He doesn't need building up. He builds up. Hallelujah. But when we praise him and we compliment him, like I said last night, we're actually quoting scripture. We're actually doing that. So we are actually quoting scripture back to God. We're saying, God, I believe you're good. When I say, God, you're a good God, that means that I've got faith in his word, because the word says he is. So I'm telling God I believe his word. I believe him. So I learn to compliment God. And sometimes people can only compliment people if they're in good humor or in good spirits. Come on, we should compliment people all the time. Do you know what I mean? I believe that. And we should compliment God all the time. See, praise is complimenting God. Praise is exalting God. Praise is extolling God from our point of view. That's what praise is. Okay, well, when do we praise? On a Sunday morning, when the music's played, the musos are up there, and the atmosphere is just right, that's when we praise. No, there are three scriptures. In Ephesians, in Colossians, and Thessalonians, it tells us that we should praise him and give thanks to God at all times, in all circumstances, for all things. That means we should praise him when we feel like it and when we don't feel like it. We should praise him when things are going well and when things are not going well. Now, I want you to listen to this message, because I'm going to put, this is a key that I'm putting in your hand. I'm putting keys in your hand that will unlock your Christian living to a totally new dimension. If you will learn to praise God, not just because things go well, but you praise him because of who he is. A lady came to me many years ago when I was pastoring a church in Armidale. And I used to preach a lot about praise back then. And our church was a real praising church. And this lady came from another church. She said, I want your counsel. I said, no. I said, I'm not going to counsel you. Go to your own pastor. I will not counsel you. She said, please help me. She said, I really do need to talk to you. And I'm serious. I said, okay, well, what is your problem? She says, well, our church is teaching, like your church, praise. My husband has just left me. I love him. He's a non-Christian. I became a Christian, and he didn't like what I'd become, and he's left me. And people in my church are saying to me, you should praise God for everything. You should praise God for everything. Meaning, I should praise God because he's left me. She says, do you teach that? I said, no, I don't. I said, let me just tell you this. Don't praise God because your husband's left you. That was not God's will. That's what the devil's doing. That's not God. Don't praise God for bad things that happened to you, but praise God in spite of those bad things that happened to you. Do you understand that? I said, so don't praise God because your husband's left you, but praise God anyway. Because God is worthy of praise. Don't put it down to the fact that, oh, I'm praising God, he's left me. Because, no. You love him. And you want him back. And let's believe that God will do something. Save him. Bring him back. Let's believe that. But you praise God no matter what. You praise him anyway. Can you see what I'm saying? Because when our hearts are down, when we're in a place of maybe bereavement, or something's gone wrong in the family, or finances are running tight, and it hurts. Christians can hurt. Christians, some of you people here, I know you're hurting. I know that. Some of you are hurting because of your circumstances, maybe to do with your job, or your sickness in your body, or your family. You're hurting. And when you're hurting, sort of the last thing you do, like I said last night, you don't want to sing.
It's hard.
But at such times as that, that's when we really need to praise God. When we don't feel like it. Can you see what I'm saying? It's easy to praise God when everything's going well. But when you're up against a wall, when you can't see any way out, that's the time when your praises touch God more than at any other time. Do you understand? So praise should become a lifestyle. And by the way, don't worry about the fact, oh, I'll get into a habit of praising God, because you won't. Do you know you can't get into a habit of praising God? I've never met anybody that's formed a habit of praising God. Do you know why? Because the devil won't let you. He doesn't want you to form a habit of praising God. The last thing he wants you to do, in fact, is praise God. Now, you like praising God. I know you do. You've got a real heart for praising God. You've got a spirit that's free inside you. You love to. And God's going to give you songs to sing. You're going to write songs of praise to God because you've got something within you that wants to praise him. And then you want to praise him all the time. That is what God wants us to come to, that place where we're praising him from our heart at all time. We're singing our praises to him, even when our heart is hurting, even when our heart is broken, even when we feel up against the wall, we praise him because he always remains to be good. And we can praise him on this basis. All things work together for good to those who love God. So whatever you're going through, whatever hurt is in your heart right now, listen, God can turn that around for good. He didn't do it, he didn't make it, but he can turn it around for good. Amen. I'm putting a key in your hand. God put this key in my hand that revolutionized my life. When do I praise him? All the time. So what is praise? Praise is complimenting God. When do I praise? All the time. When do we praise? And that's scripture. That is what the Bible actually teaches. All the time we praise the Lord. Okay, where do we praise him? Well, we praise him when we come to church on a Sunday morning. Yes, thank God for that. But you know, the truth is, we don't come to church on a Sunday morning. We come to a building on a Sunday morning. And the building is not the church. In the Old Testament, it was. They had the synagogues. They had a temple where the presence of God was, and they came to that. It says in this psalm, praise God in his sanctuary. Now, the tabernacle in the Old Testament was a type of the human body. It was also a type of heaven, which is a type of the human body. It had an outer court, which represents the body. It had the holy place, which represents our soul. And it had the holiest of all, which represents our spirit. And it says they praise God in his sanctuary, praising in that inner place. You see, the church is not a building. This is a lovely building, but this is not a church. You are the church. Do you hear me? When you go and do your shopping this week, and you go to the shopping center, and people meet you and talk to you, guess what? They're coming to church. You are the church. Whoever you talk to, your neighbors, they talk to you, they just come to church. But you see, for the first 250 years of Christianity, they built no churches. There was no church buildings in the early church. They didn't build them. They didn't build churches. They didn't say, we're going to church. They met in warehouses. They met out in the open air. They met in houses. They met wherever they could to worship the Lord. But they didn't say, we're going to church. Then about after 250 years, 300 years, churches started to get built. And then they put seats in the churches and people started to do what you're doing, looking at the back of somebody's head. And the only person you can see is my handsome face. But the church was never meant to be like this. That was not church. Church is you together fellowshipping, praising, and learning from God's word. That is what church is. You are the church. Do you understand that? Do you? You don't? Let me tell you again that you are the church. Your spirit is where God is. The Holy Spirit is coming to your spirit. Where do we praise God? Listen, we praise Him from our spirit. And let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit is always ready for you to praise God. Always. So no matter what the circumstance, your brain isn't. The old mind gets bombarded by this world, and sometimes your brain just does not feel like praising God. But your spirit is always ready to praise God. But we praise Him in the sanctuary. So that means I can praise Him in the building where God's people come together. It means I can praise Him in my car. Hallelujah. Driving down the road. I could praise Him going for a walk in the park. I could praise Him anywhere. I could praise Him because wherever I go, He is with me. I am the church. Hallelujah. And we praise Him at all times. And we praise Him from our sanctuary wherever we are. Praise God. Now, I like going to church, and we always say going to church. I understand that. I still say to my wife, we're going to church, but I know we don't go to church. We are the church. We meet in a building, but I do love going to the building to meet. I do love it when we're praising God, like this morning. We've got wonderful music being played. There's something, and I say this to people, if you can't praise God in an atmosphere like this, you ain't praising Him when you're on your own. Don't you tell me you are. Because I know you're not. If you sat in this meeting this morning and you didn't enter into praise, don't tell me you do it when you get home, because you don't. This atmosphere is the best atmosphere, the easiest atmosphere, when other Christians are around you and we have this wonderful sense of His presence, we can praise Him. But if you're not doing it, then don't kid me on trying to tell me, oh, but Pastor, I praise God at home. Rubbish. No, you don't. You just don't praise Him. You just don't learn the power, the significance of praise. Praise is a powerful weapon in the hands of God's people, with the high praises of God in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand, which refers to the Word of God, will bind the princes of darkness. God. Let's tell you something else about praise. There are times in our life when we don't know how to pray. Have you ever had those times? You know, when you've prayed, you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Have you ever had those times? Or is it just me? Am I the most unspiritual person here today that could tell you? There's times when things have happened, I just don't know how to pray. I don't know the words. I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray. At such times, I praise Him. I'm going to say something now. Please don't take this the wrong way. Don't get offended by it. But I believe with all of my heart that praise is the highest form of prayer. Let that sink in. Praise is the highest form of prayer. Do I believe in prayer? Of course I do. I taught prayer for years. I'm a pastor. But I know that there are times when even the darkness around you and you feel you don't know how to pray, you can praise Him. And I start to praise Him. I start to thank Him. I start to rejoice in Him. And somehow, some way, He brings me through. I come through. An answer comes from somewhere. And I don't understand it. I can't always, say, this is how it happened. I don't know. But somehow, some way, you brought through. Because you've learned to praise Him. So where do we praise Him? In the sanctuary. You may say to me, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't feel like praising God. My answer to you is, yes, you do. Ask your spirit. Your spirit's ready to praise God. The old brain box isn't. But you're more than a brain box. Isn't that wonderful to know? Come on. You're more than a brain box. You have a spirit as well as a soul, a personality. You have a spirit, and that spirit is in contact with God, and God's spirit has come within your spirit, dovetailed Himself to your spirit, so that you are the child of God, and He's always ready to praise. Hallelujah! So what is praise? Praise is complimenting God. When do we praise? All the time. Where do we praise? From the sanctuary, from our spirit. The next one, I love the next one. I love this. How do we praise? How do we praise? Well, there's only one way. Are you ready for it? Only one way. I'm telling you now, there is only one way to praise God. And do you know what that is? Loudly. Let it sink in. It's offended some of you. Loudly. We just read that psalm. I mean, don't you think that guy was getting excited when he wrote this? Who thinks that this is quiet? Or do you think that this is pretty loud? Praise the Lord. Praise God in sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harps and lyre. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's pretty loud, isn't it? Come on. I was once invited to go and speak to a group of Christians in the university, at Perth University, and these were non-Pentecostals. And they asked me to come and speak to them about praise. I thought, wow, asking a Pentecostal pastor to speak to non-Pentecostals about praise, they are asking for trouble, aren't they? They're really asking for it. So I'm teaching and I'm bringing things out similar to what I'm going to say today. And one young man said to me, Pastor, he put his hand up, he said, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I said, okay. I said, why are you disagreeing? He said, well, in our church, we don't do that. We don't shout and stomp and clap our hands. He said, but sometimes in our church on a Sunday morning, I can sit there and as communion is coming around, I'm just weeping before the Lord. He's touched me so beautifully. And I said, well, what's your point? He said, well, that is my point. No, I don't know. What are you trying to tell me? I'm saying to you that I don't need all that praise and shouting to bring the presence of God in. I said, can I just tell you, young man, you're making the same mistake that Pentecostals make. Praising God has got nothing to do with God touching you and blessing you. I said to him, you've been in your church on Sunday mornings and you felt the presence of God. Oh, yeah. I felt tears coming down because of the presence of God. I said to him, well, don't you think it would have been nice for you to have said, thank you, God. Praise you, God. You're just blessing me. That's what I said to him. I said, you see, we equate praise and blessing as the same thing. I've gone into church some days. Listen to this. I've praised God right through the meet. I've gone in feeling down. I've praised Him feeling down. And I've gone out feeling down. Didn't lift my spirit because I praised Him, but I tell you whose spirit lifted God. He was happy to hear me praising Him in spite of the situation I was in. I don't praise God and equate it with blessing. I praise Him so He can bless me. I never used to dance at all. In fact, I used to have a real aversion to it. I don't dance much now because I'm an old man, but I remember once when I first started the church in Armidale, or took over the church in Armidale, I took over a church that had been through a split. And it was a hurting church. Believe it, about 30 people left in the congregation. And it was hurting. And I'm a bit of an evangelist. I see myself as an evangelist. And I said to God, God, what do I do to get people into this church? Because I've come here full time and I need a wage. 30 people ain't going to pay you much of a wage, and they'd offered me a pathetic wage, which I took. I accepted that, and I did no more, and I went there by faith full time. So I said, God, what am I going to do to get people in? What do you want me to do? I asked the Lord. The Lord said to me, I just want you to teach these people to praise me. He said, just teach them to praise. So I thought, well, that's not going to get people in, is it? That's a funny thing to say anyway. I want to teach them evangelism. You know, go and knock on doors. Go and stand on street corners. Get people in. But God says, just teach them to praise. So I did that. And some incredible things happened. I won't go into all what happened. But we've grown to about 60 people in a wonderful way. And a visiting speaker came who was a friend of mine. And he said, I've got a chorus I'd like to teach your church. He said, oh, okay, great. In those days, we used to sit on the front with the teachers preaching. You know, the pastor would sit at the front, and the visiting speaker would sit, would face the congregation. We don't do it now, but that's how we used to do it in those days. And so I'm sitting down here, and he gets up to teach him this lovely chorus. It's quite a catchy chorus. And all of a sudden, the people stood up as we're singing. And I'm listening, and I thought, who told them to stand up? So I thought, well, I better stand up. They are. So I stood up. And then they really got into this chorus. And some people started to dance. And I thought, dear God, what is happening here? God, I didn't dance. The only place I would dance would be in the bathroom where nobody could see me. You know what I mean? I'm an Englishman. You know what I mean? I'm not out there extravagant. I'm a very reserved Englishman, as you've seen. And so I'm thinking to myself, God, what is happening? And I felt myself going embarrassed because these people were dancing. I thought, should I stop this? Should I stop it? And I felt the Spirit of the Lord say to me, now you get in on this and you join in. And I thought, I'm not going to join in. This is what I said. I will dance when the Spirit moves me. That's what I said. I felt God say to me, don't be stupid. You know, when you clap your hands to a chorus, you're not clapping because the Spirit's moving you. You're clapping because you want to. Come on, some of you will clap this morning a little bit. You wasn't clapping because the Spirit moved you to clap. Don't get spiritual with me. You clapped out of exuberance, you know. Also, God says, don't be getting on it, because he says, the Lord says, if you don't, you'll kill this. Oh, God, I'm in front of the Lord. So here goes. So I started to dance. And I want to tell you, the moment I started to dance, embarrassment left me. It was wonderful. And I've been dancing ever since, praise God. And it's out of, not because the Spirit is leading me, but because I just want to dance because I'm so happy with Him. Do you see? We praise Him because it's not what's happening around us. It's not what is happening to us. It's because of who He is. In your darkest moment, He still is shining. I caught a plane out of Melbourne one day. So it sat near the window, and it was raining and thundering and lightning. And I thought to myself, this guy ain't going to take off in this. And to my amazement, he started to taxi down. It was dark, it was ominous, and it was heavy rain, and I tell you, it was thundering and lightning. I thought, this guy is not going to take off in this, and to my amazement he did, and the plane shook as it took off. And I thinking, what is, and it was a bad storm. What seemed just like seconds, the plane broke through the storm, and above the storm the sky were blue. And I looked down, the clouds were white and fluffy. I'm serious. I looked out of the window, and I said, oh God, what an experience that was. I said, I wish I could break through like that in my spirit realm. And God said to me, you can. And I remember saying to him, how can I? And he said to me, I've told you that many times. You break through in praise. Because no matter how dark the clouds are, the sun is still shining. Come on! There's still a blue sky up there. We've had a few days. I mean, today it's a bit cloudy, and yesterday was beautiful and sunny, wasn't it? But we've had a few days when the clouds have been over, and you can't see a blue sky, and you can't see the sun. But the truth is, the blue sky is still there. Come on! The sun is still there. All it needs is for us to break through in the Spirit. And what helps us to break through is praise. I was in this church, and I won't go into all the details, but this first church I was in at Armadale, where they had this split, there's some bad things that happened, and there was some real demonic oppression. And to the point where I wondered whether I'd made a mistake coming to that church. I really did. It was, demonic oppression was so strong. And I learned the reason why. I sought God. And what happened was, I had a vision. And I looked up and I saw, over Armadale, I saw this mirror. Big mirror over Armadale. And as I looked up, I was just seeing a reflection of myself and a reflection of the people. And I didn't know what that was about. I just saw this mirror and seeing a reflection. And then I had the same vision again. Only this time, a little bit later, I looked up, I saw this mirror, and then I suddenly saw this arrow shoot straight through and pierce that mirror, and it broke into 1,000 fragments and fell. And I remember whispering, I said, God, what was that? And God says, that was praise. Praise. Without praise, all you're doing is looking at a reflection of yourself. You're seeing your problems. You're seeing your circumstances. You're seeing your weaknesses. You're seeing your failures. You're seeing your sins. And I want to tell you, that's not a pretty sight to see. Come on. It's not a pretty sight to see. But when we praise God, we break that thing. And we break through. Just like that plane broke through those clouds. Literally, you see the sun is shining. And that's what praise does. But praise, now hear me, has to be loud. Now you're going to disagree with me. Some of you could say, no, we can worship in total. We can worship him in total silence. I agree. But I'm not talking about worship this morning. I'm talking about praise. Praise and worship are two different things. The word worship means to bow down and adore. And you can worship God loudly, or you can worship God in total silence. But can I just say this about worship? You can't just come coldly to worship God. You come into his presence through praise. You get to a place through praise where you come into his presence and then you're released into worship. But the beginning is praise. Okay, worship means to bow down and adore. To praise means to raise your hand and confess. To speak out, confess. To say the same thing as God says. You start saying, God, you're great. God, you're mighty. God, you're awesome. God, you're terrific. You are powerful. You are majestic. You are righteous. You are holy. You are just. You are merciful. I'm praising him. I'm complimenting him. That hour of praise is going against all the darkness that's surrounding me, and it's piercing that darkness, and I'm starting to see like I never saw before. When God first told me to praise God in this little church in Armidale, it was a small building. My office was a tiny little office. God says to me, you teach the people to praise. So I went in on the Monday morning. Nobody was around. And I walked through the building. I shouted, praise the Lord! And it was like, it bounced back at me. A little voice in my head said, stupid. It's called self-consciousness. So I thought, I'm not having this. Hallelujah! And again, it bounced straight back to me. The voice says, don't be stupid. There's nobody around. And I realized, I'm in a battle here. I'm praising God, and my self-consciousness is telling me I'm stupid. Because I'm praising him out loud. So I shouted a whole lot more. And I said, devil, go to hell. That's just where you belong. Get out of my head. I'm praising God no matter what. And I learned the power of breaking through to praise God no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation. I want to tell you, it really works. There are 7 Hebrew words for praise. Hebrew. Old Testament. I reckon the Old Testament priests were Pentecostal. They were. Because every word for praise means to be allowed. Let me show you how you don't praise God. Just look at me. This is how you don't praise God. You don't praise God like that. One of the Hebrew words means to be ear-splitting. Wow. To be ear-splitting. It means that you shout it out. Who hears you? You hear you. The first person to hear you praising God is you. You know you hear yourself? You know that, don't you? Do you know you hear yourself different to what other people hear you? When you first heard yourself on a tape recorder years ago, and your voice was played back, didn't it sound different? Is that me? I didn't realize I sound like that. Ooh, I don't like that. Because we hear ourselves actually different. I'm hearing myself different to what you are. But when I speak, the first person to hear John Warwick speak is John Warwick. The second person to hear him is the devil. Hallelujah. And the devil doesn't like it. I've found something out about the devil. This is why praise is loud. Because the devil is allergic to praise. He has an allergic reaction to praise. Do you know why? Because he thinks he was the center of it all. He thinks he's number one. He said, and by the way, I say to people, people looked at me strange when I said this, because I think that Satan is insane. I think, and now I'm putting human words on a spirit being, because he's a spirit being. He's not flesh and blood like you. He's a spirit being. So I don't know what words to use in the spirit, but in the flesh, I'd call him schizophrenic, psychotic, insane. I believe he is. Because he once was a beautiful angel in the presence of God, covered by God. He says, you are the anointed cherub. And he stepped out of that anointing. He still had his beauty. Still had his wisdom, but he stepped out of that anointing of God. Paul says he can appear as an angel of light. Jewish said, I will ascend to the throne of God. I will be like the Most High. How many of you know that's a schizophrenic statement? Because what does it say? I will be like who? The Most High. If something is the Most High, I think it means you can't get any higher. Is that bad English I'm making up there? If you are, if it's the Most High, what is it? The Most High. What is the devil saying? I'm going to go to the, and be with the Most, ascend to the Most High. He's an idiot. You don't get higher than God. But he thought he could. I mean, that's how powerful he is. And he drew a third of the angels of heaven to be with him. And so this incredible battle took place. That is here on earth today fighting this battle of principalities and powers and evil spirits. They're there all the time around us. But I discovered something. He thinks he should be praised. He wants you to praise him. He likes it when people swear and curse and blaspheme. He loves that. He loves it. But when people start to praise God, he doesn't want to hang around that. He's God. Brothers and sisters, if you want to get rid of the devil in here today, you start praising God. He'll scoot. He'll go to the next orchard. He ain't going to stay around here. No demons are going to stay where God's people are praising. But when you start to praise God, I'll tell you what you bring in. You bring in the angels of God because they love to praise God. Oh, I'm going to join that person. They're praising you, Father. I'm going to encourage them. That's what praise does. Praise is loud. What is praise? Loud. Scripturally, all the way through, praise is loud. You praise him with any instrument you can. You get it. I wish I could play the Joanna like you can. I love to be able to play the piano. The only instrument I can play is a mouth organ. And the only thing I can play on that is God Save Our Gracious Queen. And nothing else. I've always wished I could play, because I once tried to learn the drums when I was in Belmont. A young guy, I got this guy to teach me the drums. And somebody said, I'm on fire. I came in one day, the drums were burning. We got in the church, it was a wooden floor. We got there just right in time to put it out. The church had gone down. I thought, is somebody trying to tell me something? So I'm not musical like that, you know. But I love to praise God and I love to hear the music played. I encourage people who've got instruments, play them to the glory of God. Make as much noise as you can. And you won't offend anybody but other Christians. Come on. When we really got praising God, we really went for it. One day, in Armadale, this old guy came, he was on a walking stick. And that Sunday morning, as the church finished, I stood at the door and shaking people's hands, and he come like this. I says, good morning, sir. He says, good morning. I said, where are you from? He says, I'm from the Nolamara Church of Christ. I said, oh, okay. He says, I want to ask you a question, he said. I said, what? He says, are they always like this? I said, pardon? He says, are they always like this? I said, what do you mean, are they always like this? You know, jumping and dancing and raising their hands. And are they always like this? I says, yes, they are. He says, wonderful, wonderful. I have found that the people that get offended by praise and speaking in tongues are the Christians. Not the Christians. Listen, when I started teaching, when I wanted to teach evangelism, God says, you teach praise. The first person that got saved, we was in a prayer meeting. A woman walked in off the street into a prayer meeting where we were praising God, she got saved. Oh, that's true. The second woman that got saved was a woman whose husband was in prison. He was there for manslaughter. And she was on her way to go to see him, to visit him. But she was early, and so she came into our church. Because she was early, before it was time to go. And I preached, and we were worshiping God, and we had communion. We just handed the bread around, and then was about to hand the cup around, and she came down to me. She says, "I want to get saved." And I says, "Well, just wait until the end of the service for you. We're going to..." She said, "I can't wait. I've got to go now. I've got to go right now, but I don't want to go without getting saved." You know what I mean? So the second person I led to the Lord without any evangelism. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God's got his ways. And that was an unsaved person who was facing such terrible things, came into a church praising God, and it turned them on. It didn't turn them off. Can I say this again? The only people that get turned off are the Christians. Who say it's not right to speak in tongues. You shouldn't speak in tongues. They get all the scriptures twisted. Just have a go at it yourself and you'll feel a lot better. Tell them that. They have a go. Don't just relax. God's not upset. If you shout, God isn't upset. One person said to me, "What do you shout for? God's not deaf." That's what he said to me. I said, "He's not deaf." I said, "He's not nervous neither." I said, "And what? He really likes it. He's not upset when you're praising him. He's thinking, go for it. Right on." I will tell you this one. I had two ladies in our church when I was in Geraldton. And one lady was complaining about the music being too loud. All the time were they complaining. All the time. Serious. And I said, "Well, look, that's the way it is. That's how we are." She said, "But I was coming to this church before you came, Pastor. And you've made a mess of it. And it's not right." She said, "If you don't turn it down, I'm leaving." I said, "Well, I'm really sorry about that because I like you very much." I did like you. She's a lovely lady. So I'm going. I said, "Okay." And she took this other lady with her. 2 months later, there was a 40th birthday party in our church, and she was very friends with this lady whose 40th birthday it was, and was invited to the party in the church building. And they brought a jukebox in to the church building, jukebox, for this party. And she sat on a table next to the jukebox. And I'll tell you, that thing was loud, too loud for me. And I watched her, clapping her hands. I thought, "You hypocrite. You hypocrite. You dance and you'll not complain about the loudness of worldly music. But when it comes to the Lord, you don't want to give a loud noise to the Lord." Did you hear what I'm saying now? Listen, I've lost a lot of people over the years because our music was too loud. Because our singing was too loud. Go. Annoy the next pastor because you'll find something else different in that church to complain about. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise is loudly. What is praise? Loud. That wasn't very good, was it? What is praise? Loud. We're nearly there. What is praise? Loud! Amen. So, praise is simply complimenting God. We praise God all the time. We praise Him in the sanctuary. We praise Him loudly. But the next question, why do we praise God? See, I got saved in a Pentecostal church. So being saved as a 15-year-old in a Pentecostal church, I knew nothing but praising God, because they always did. You know, I thought it was natural. And one day I went into a Baptist church. I was on holiday. I went into this Baptist church, and you could hear a pin drop. And I remember the preacher was preaching. He preached a good sermon. He said something. I went, "Amen!" And people all turned around to look at me. I didn't know church could be like that, because I got saved in a, so my culture is Pentecostal. That's my culture. So I didn't understand it. But listen, I was praising God for many years before I asked myself the question, well, why? What is it all about? I know what it is. I know how you do it. But what is a reason for praise? And I have two reasons that I feel we need to praise God for. The first reason is, praising God counter-attacks all the negatives of the day. All the satanic negatives. Listen, when you go from this place, right now, it's wonderful. There's no tellies, no news, no newspapers, you're not listening to all the rubbish that there is there that's bombarding your minds 24/7. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Very hard, because we live in a world that wants a piece of your brain. This world wants your brain. The devil wants a piece of your mind, and he will keep bombarding you with negatives, negatives, negatives all the time. When you read the newspapers, you watch the news, your mind is being filled with negative, 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 negative. I got to the place where just a few weeks ago I was watching the news, and I said to my wife, that's it, I'm switching off. All I'm seeing is negatives, negatives, negatives. And nobody ever does anything about the negatives. Come on, there's no real justice. None at all. I just wish sometimes that our nation could go and live for a week in Singapore, where at least they deal with things the way things should be dealt with, where they don't have a whole lot of people just going around making other people unhappy and hurt and in pain. We live in a negative world. So when I'm praising God, I am counter-attacking all the satanic negatives. I'm putting something positive in me. I'm putting the Word of God, because when I'm praising God, I'm quoting the Word of God. So I'm filling my mind as well as my spirit with God's Word. So I need to praise God because I need to counter-attack negatives. Now listen, you can't worship God any time of the day because you're not in the right spiritual mood to do so. But you can praise Him any time of the day or night. Come on. Praise, worship is that sense when we've come through praise and, you know, and I'm sure in your churches you've been lost in wonder, love and praise, and you just come to that worship. And you say you can hear a pin drop then, but the presence of God is almost tangible. And that's wonderful. But you don't have that all the time. I tell you, when you get from this camp and you go back on Monday to work with your home situation, some of you may come from a home where some of you members are not saved. When I got saved, my family wasn't saved. I was the only one saved in my family. I know what it is like to be a Christian in a non-Christian home. And the negatives that you get. I understand what it is to go to work. I worked in a factory with 200 men. And all I ever got was negative, negative, negative. And I learned that by praising God, I'm making myself positive. I'm filling myself with the goodness of God. I know God hears me. I hear me. The devil hears me and he hates it. I love upsetting the devil. I'm not a friend of the devil, by the way. I hope I've defended anybody. I'm going to tell you something. I don't like him. In fact, I'll go as far to say I hate him. I think he stinks. I think he should go to hell. Do you hear me? I tell him regular, devil go to hell. Because I look around at this world and see what you've done. See the pain, the torment, the confusion, the deceit, the hatred, the violence, the murders, the injustice, the inequities, the pride, the prejudice, all come from his evil mind, injected into the human race. I'm not a friend of his, and I'll hurt him every time I can. A woman once rang me, a very spiritual lady in our church. She said, Pastor John, I've had a vision about you. I said, oh, tell me about it. What's on the phone? She said, I've seen this. It's like a big snake, a cobra. It's wrapped around you. It's squeezing the life out of you. I said, oh, yeah. And she says, it's the devil. Pastor John, it's so clear. This is at the time when we was in Armadale, when we was fighting satanic powers. She says, it's a big, it's terrible. And I said to her, and she was a lovely Christian lady. I said, sister, rubbish. She said, what? I said, I'll tell you where the devil is. He's not wrapped round my back. He's under my feet where he belongs. I'm not taking that from you or him or anybody else. He's not on my back. He's where he belongs, under my feet. I had a revelation. How many of you have got doormats in front of your house that, and it says welcome on the doormat? Anybody got that? Do you know what I mean? Right. What do people do with doormats? What do? Wipe the feet all over that welcome sign. Don't they? I reckon if some Christian could think of making doormats with the name Satan on it. So you come into the house, you wipe all your muck on him, and you go inside. Hey, who rang that? Ooh, that'll sell, I reckon, if somebody wants to take that on. If any of you are business-minded here, go for that one. Because the truth is, Paul says, Satan, God will soon crush Satan under your feet. Hallelujah! Satan's going to be crushed under our feet. He's not on your back. He's not. He lies. He lies. Have you not found that out yet? He lies. He cheats. He deceives. He'll tell you that you're no good. You're nothing. And we're going to deal with that later. That you're nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. He's more frightened of you than you should be of him. This is what the Bible says. Resist the devil and he'll stay on your back. Is that right? Oh, you know I've just misquoted. They don't. They're thinking, oh, resist the devil and he'll stay on your back. Is that what he says? No, he says resist the devil and he'll run away. And I like that because James wrote that. And he wasn't saying about the apostles resist the devil. He wasn't saying about the evangelists or the prophets. He says you, even you. And you resist the devil, and he will run from you. Glory to God. I've just described what an incredible creature he is. But the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Can you see what I'm saying? Change your thinking. Get rid of the stinking thinking where you feel to yourself, he's controlling my situation. Rubbish. If he is, it's about time you took control and start praising God. Just by praising God, you will do that. Now, there's a second reason why we need to praise God. I'm not going to go into that one. I'm going to leave that for another session. But what I do, as we finish this session, what I want to do is this. There are two reasons why Christians don't praise God in the way I've spoken about. One of the reasons is self-consciousness. Because you're put off by a husband, or you're put off by a wife, or you're put off by your kids, or your kids are certainly put off by you. And so the self-consciousness comes. That's one reason. The other reason why people can't praise God is because they feel like they're in a straitjacket. The circumstances are so around them, they don't feel free to praise God. Now I believe God wants to set us free from both those things. Remember, I told you, I had the self-consciousness when I praised God and I was on my own in that church and it bounced back at me and the voice said, stupid. I had to battle through that. It was a self-consciousness of me. I was self-conscious when God said, you better get up and dance with these people. And I thought, oh no, God, I don't want to do that. No, no, no. Self-consciousness. I had to break it. And there's other times when people feel, I can't praise God. This is going off in my life. It's terrible. When God's dealt with it, I'll get back to praising him. When God sorts this thing out, when my marriage gets on a better basis, I'll praise him. When my kids get on the right track. No. Because if that's your attitude, there's always going to be something to stop you. There'll always be another problem. You've got to say, I'm going to praise God no matter what. And sometimes we need a little prayer to be set free. Now, do you understand? Everybody look at me now. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about praise, complimenting God, praise, being all the time, praise, being from your spirit, praise, being loud. It's going to be a real effort for some of you to praise God loud. But I want you to have a shot. This is, we've done lesson time, now it's homework time. We're going to have a shot. But before we do, there may be people here who would say to me, John, I'm one of those people that's incredibly self-conscious. Just pray for me. And I will do that. So that self-consciousness will be broken. Because people will stop you. The devil will stop you. You let the world intimidate you and push you down. See, the old guy that said to me, wonderful, wonderful, he saw something. He said, yeah, that's how all churches should be. Worshipping, praying, praising God. Now, I know you are. You are. I'm not talking about the whole church. I'm talking about there's some of you here. Maybe that have not entered into it because of a self-conscious attitude. Well, I'd like to pray for you. And then there's others of you here that are not free to praise God because of your circumstances. Because you're perhaps even feel a hypocrite. Maybe you even fail God. And you think, how can I praise God while I keep falling to that habit? Hey, come on. Don't let circumstances stop you from praising God. By praising Him, it might be that spearhead to break you through that realm of darkness. Do you understand what I'm saying? It might just be the very thing you need. So if there's anybody here this morning, before we're going to get into praise in a moment, but before we do, is there anybody here that would say to me, John, I have this self-consciousness. Would you pray for me? If you would just raise your hand so I can see it. And don't worry about, you know, say, well, I'm too self-conscious to raise my hand. But, and it might be the case. But come on, if what I've said is, now think, as this preacher this morning preached from the Word, has he told me what's in the Word? Has he told me something that's from God? Well, if I have, then make a step. Just raise your hand and say, I need that prayer. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yep, good on you. Good on you. We're going to come to a realm where you're going to be set absolutely free. Praise God. I'm an Englishman set free. Stiff upper lip, you know. I've been set free because I know the best way is to keep praising Jesus. And let me tell you this. In the book of Revelations, it says there's going to be 30 minutes of silence in heaven. That's all. The rest of it, you're going to just have to let it rip. So you need to get in training now. You read Revelation, how many times do people fall down and worship and praise Him as loud as they can? So come on, we're in training for reigning. How many people here would say to me, okay, it's not self-consciousness, but I've got problems, and they keep preventing me from being free to praise God. How many people would like a prayer about your problems? I'm not praising God because of the circumstances I'm in. If I could get rid of them, I would praise God. How many people are like that? Hands up. Hands up. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, okay. Now I'm going to pray for you people, but when I pray for you, don't expect that the problems will be solved. I'm praying that in spite of the problems, you will shoot that arrow through. And you will be amazed how that thing will solve your problems. Do you understand? I don't know you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what it is. So, but what I can pray is, God, though, don't let that thing stop these people from praising you today. So, Father, I pray for those who are self-conscious that raise their hand. I thank you for them, Lord. They've heard this message and they believe you're speaking to them through me, and they want to be free in praise and worship. I ask that you'll deal with their self-consciousness right now in the name of Jesus, that they'll put it to one side and they will not let self-consciousness and pride prevent them from singing the praises of their God. I pray for those people, Lord, who raise their hand because of circumstances, because of situations that are hemming them in. I pray right now that, Lord, they will shoot that arrow of praise right through those dark clouds. They'll pierce the darkness through the Word of God and through praise, and they'll see that the sun is shining and that the sky is blue. Lord, do it for them, I pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you all heard that prayer? Those of you who raised your hand, you heard that prayer? I reckon I just prayed a pretty good prayer. I reckon God says, amen. Amen. I said, I'm with you, John. I'm with you. Okay, if you think I prayed a good prayer, then you're going to praise God. You're going to open your mouth and you're going to praise Him. And you forget the person sitting next to you or in front of you. We're not going to have any music. We're going to be the music just now. Okay. So the first thing, I want all of us just to stand. And I want you to praise God in your words. In your words. If you want to jump and dance and clap and shout, do it. But it's in your words that you're doing this. So I'm going to count to three. And then you're going to just let it rip. We'll just see if you can. Okay, so it's up to you guys. He's listening. Father's listening. And the devil's getting ready to run. Did you hear me? The devil's getting ready to run. So after three, one, two, three. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be the name that is above every name.
name, that mighty name of Jesus, that glorious name of Jesus, the wholesome name of Jesus, the healing name of Jesus. How we bless you, how we praise you, how we magnify your name. We give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. Hallelujah! Glory! Woo! 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 Okay, everybody, just quiet for a second, Now, I once came into our church one Sunday morning after we were learning praise. I said, we're going to praise God. The radio church, I said, yeah. I said, nobody's allowed to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, or glory. I said, let's praise him. And there was a deathly silence. Because if you think our vocabulary of praise is somewhat limited. So what I suggest you do is look at the book of Psalms and pull out some phrases of praise. Learn them. Actually, learn them and give them back to God. But I've heard you weren't all saying praise the Lord, hallelujah and glory. Some of you was, not all of you. And it doesn't matter if you do. That's wonderful. But in your words, praise him. We're going to finish this session a bit early, so you can have a little extra time for a tea break. But I just want you to feel that sense of freedom inside. Remember, don't say, I'll do it till you bless me, God. No. But you create through that, piercing that darkness, a sense of freedom within yourself and think, okay, I've still got my problems. I'm still facing all that. But I'm going to praise you anyway. You feel so much better. Hallelujah. Do you remember I said on Sunday about the storm? Do you remember that? The chaos? Through them all, we can have the peace of God. That's part of it. This praising thing is part of it. It doesn't mean that the storms go, but while the storm's there, you can have a sleep. Best way. How many of you know the best way to go through a storm is to sleep? I mean, in the physical it is. Anybody, a heavy sleeper, you slept through a storm, woke up in the morning, and your wife said to you, or your husband said to you, did you hear that thunder last night? And you say, no. Who? Anybody like that? Anybody sleep? Yeah, you're okay. Wasn't that whatever? You were sleeping, she was awake. Do you know what I'm saying? The best, you can sleep through a storm. And he promises that he gives us peace and rest. So you may be in a spiritual storm. Doesn't matter. Have a rest and praise God. Come on, after two this time and let it rip. I want to see if you can lift that roof. One, two. Hallelujah, glory. Magnify your name, O God. We worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're great and mighty. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Blessed be the name that is above every name. That glorious, awesome, wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory be to Jesus. You are so awesome, God. Now, Father, I pray that everybody here will be released into an attitude of praise and worship that they've never known before. I pray, Lord, that there will be a lifestyle of praise from every person in this congregation. Every man, every woman, every younger person, every older person. Lord, I pray for a lifestyle of praise. Get older them, Lord. Let them praise you for all that they are worth. Let that lifestyle of praise flow from them all the time. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let this be known as a church of praise and adoration to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Do it, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, because you were so good, you've got an extra 15 minutes for tea. There you go.
All right, I think it is appropriate to only end with this enclosing praise song. Shout to the Lord. Let us shout to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Lord, I need.
from Israel. Nothing compares to the promised land. Nothing compares to the promised land.
Father, we thank you this morning for the powerful message of praise. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you raise up this congregation to be a congregation of praiser and worshiper. For you are looking, Lord, for praiser and worshiper, Lord. So I ask, Lord, that this anointing, Lord, will rest upon us, that we'll make the choice to praise and to worship you, Lord. So, Lord, you look upon, Lord, this church, Lord, with grace, with your grace and mercy, that we will indeed, Lord, as we praise unto you, Lord, we will have a breakthrough, Lord. There will be a breakthrough, Lord, have a spiritual breakthrough in our life, in our church, in our circumstances, in our family, Lord. So we commit ourselves to you, we surrender ourselves to you to mold and to shape us to be the praiser and the worshiper you are looking for. In Jesus' most precious name, we ask of you. Amen. 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 We're going to have a break until 11 o'clock.